This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Can y'all stand and let's honor Tyler Thompson as he comes up this morning to speak.
Good morning, everyone. You guys can be seated. Just want to say thank you to Pastor Gene and Regina for having me and allowing me and trusting me with this platform. I'm excited to be here with you all this morning. I'll tell you about the story later how I started, but just so thankful to be here with you all. And I really believe that God has put something on my heart for this specific body of believers. And so I just pray that during this time, you know what, I'm just going ahead and pray. And I'll just pray that out. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we just thank you for this time. God, we thank you that during these next few moments, everything else fades away. Thank you, Father, that your voice is the loudest and the clearest in these next few moments, that my mouth may be moving, but it's your voice that they hear. And we just thank you, Father, for grace and clarity to receive exactly what you have for us this morning, because you do have something special for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So a little bit about me. My name is Tyler. I'm usually holding the camera, but I'm not today. And I'm here with my wife, who we celebrated 10 years last Sunday. So, yeah. A little bit about me, a little bit more about me. We have three little ones, and we really mean little ones. We have a three-year-old named Cooper Ray Thompson, a little two-year-old named Taylor Sophia Thompson, and then we have a eight-week-old named Olivia. That was a big whoa, Olivia Lynn Thompson. And so we're just thankful and blessed for what God's doing in our family and just in this season. Just excited about that. But like I said, I feel like the word that I feel like God has for me to share this morning is specifically for you. So if you've ever been on a trip, how many of you guys have a dream trip that you want to go on? Like you want to go to Italy, you want to go to Australia, maybe Alaska, maybe just Nashville, wherever you want to go. Raise your hand if you got a dream trip you'd like to go. Okay. All right. Cool. So this happened to me a few years ago. I was invited by some family friends to attend a cruise, and it wasn't just like a cruise in the Caribbean, it was a cruise in Italy. So you get to see Greece, Turkey, all these places. And so I was really excited. This was before, though, you had the apps, before Siri, before Google Maps. This is when you had printouts, right? You had printouts of your reservations, you had printouts of your tickets, lots of paper, okay? So as I have all these printouts, I get invited on the trip. She emails me all the information. I print everything out, so I got the printouts on me. And it's time for me to take the trip. So I get on the plane, take it overseas, first time overseas by myself. I get to watch some movies on the plane. That was great. And as I get there, I step into this gate, and nobody is speaking English. All right, and so I'm trying to figure out what to do. Thing that I know to do is go to the desk. Whenever you need help, no matter what store it is, if you need help, go to the desk. Everybody say, go to the desk. Go to the desk. So I walk over to the desk. The concierge is there, and they speak English. I'm like, this is great. And so I have my papers. And as I have my papers, I say, hey, I need a cab so I can go to this place. I couldn't pronounce the name of the hotel. And so I showed it to him. And so he's like, yes, okay, all right. And so he points to a guy who's behind me on a payphone. As I look, there's a guy on the payphone, at the payphone, and he's dressed in black. He's got like these cases with him. One of them's a guitar case, but he's got these cases with him, and he's not speaking English. And so I said, yes. I said, I'm trying to get here. And so he pointed to the guy again. He's like, yes, he's going there. So I walk over to this perfect stranger that I've never met in my life, and I'm not sure if he can speak English. I tell him, I show him. I'm like, hey, are you going here? He's like, yes, yes. So he points me out, waves a taxi down. So I'm standing here waiting for a taxi with someone I have never met before in my life. And he's dressed like he's straight out of an action movie. All black. Got the case with him. So I'm sitting there waiting. And as I'm waiting, the taxi pulls up. Taxi driver gets out. They start talking. I don't know what they're saying. He opens the trunk. He puts my stuff in. And then the guy opens the back door. And as soon as he opens the back door, it clicks. Like, this is no longer a dream trip. I'm in the movie Taken. Like, I'm no longer Tyler, I'm Liam Neeson, right? And so my mind just goes to wonder. I tuck the papers, I had the printouts, I tuck them. And so I get in the back seat, and I'm already thinking, I got to strategize how I'm going to handle this, because I'm getting back home. I'm not going to be taken. So when I get in the car, I sit behind the driver. When I tell y'all I was already gone, I was there, y'all. I had the plan in my head. So I'm sitting behind the driver, and I buckle up, and I'm positioning myself so I can see the rearview mirror because I can see the driver's eyes. That way, the guy who just opened the door for me gets in the car with me. I can see them talking. And when he does that look, you know the look in the movies where he does that look like, all right, now get him. I can be ready to, like, react. So had my seatbelt buckled. I'm there. We start pulling off from the airport, and I'm memorizing the turns left, right, because as soon as they try anything, when they're ready, I'm going to already be prepared. I'm going to throw my hands on the driver's eyes, right? And the car is going to swerve. Worst, best case scenario, it pulls to the side. As it pulls to the side, I jump out and I run back to the airport, right? To safety. I had this whole plan in my head of how it was going to happen. So we're driving, they're talking. We're driving, they're talking, and I'm watching. I'm watching his eyes. So we take another left, a right, a left, a right. Finally, we slow down and go around this building. We go around this building into an alley, right? Okay, and I'm ready. I'm like, this is the moment. This is the time. You are Liam Neeson. You are John Wick. You are Denzel Washington. You got this, right? So as soon as the driver gets out, I'm watching him, and he opens the door. I step out, and I look, and I see the family that I was supposed to meet. I was like, oh, thank God. They were like, how was your trip? I was like, it was great. It was fine. I wasn't worried at all. You never had that happen to you before, right? Don't let your mind just wander or run off. It's like I had everything planned out, right? The hotel already had the reservation. I had the printouts in my hand. I had the map. I had the taxi. Every step of the way was already planned out, but I was sitting there worried. Like, I was about to take out a taxi driver who wouldn't have known what was coming, right? Imagine that, like, hands over his eyes. That would have been crazy. And maybe you've never taken things to that extent, but maybe you had plans or felt like, okay, in your life, all right, this is supposed to go this way. God, you want my life to be successful. God, you want me to have a great marriage, a great family. God, you want me to have a great job where I can provide. God, you have a great plan for me. But have you ever had those moments where even though you know these things, there's some doubt there? It's like, it doesn't feel like what you've told me. It doesn't feel like what your word says. It doesn't feel like what you've promised me. God, like, what? And so, as I was thinking about this message, it actually started from a call I had with Pastor Gene. He was telling me about asking me about getting to speak. And before I could even give an answer, this question dropped in my heart. And the question was, will the wall fall? Now, like, as soon as I heard that, had that question drop in my heart, I was like, Joshua and Jericho, will the walls fall? And so as I took the time to read that question, pray it out, kind of study it out, it shifted from, will the wall fall, to, God, what are you asking me to do? And so that's where, I know there's a big gap in between there, but that's where I want to take us in these next few moments. So let's look at Joshua chapter 6. So if you guys open up your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6, we'll read this together. We're going to look at verses 1 through 16, and then we're going to hit verse 20 as well. But Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. To give you some background before we get there and to give you some time to find it. Joshua is in a new season. He is taking over a pretty big responsibility. Moses has departed, and Joshua is now the leader of the Israelites. And it's not just a few of them, as you know. It's a lot. And this is Joshua's very first battle. So this is like the defining moment of, like, Joshua, are you the guy, or do we need to go get Steve or somebody else? Are you the one who hears from God? Are you him? So Joshua is faced with this battle, and God's already told Joshua, hey, Joshua, this is the battle. This is how it's going to go down. And that's where we find ourselves in Joshua chapter 1, or Joshua chapter 6. We're going to go to Joshua chapter 1 later. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua is looking at Jericho, and it says, now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out, and no one came in. This is pretty cool, because as God's doing these things with the Israelites, word is spreading throughout the city that The Israelites are coming, and God has given them the victory. And so everyone knows about this. So Jericho has been locked down. They got all the gates locked. And so it says, but the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've handed Jericho over to you and with its king and the valiant warriors. You shall march around the city. This is where God's giving Joshua the plan. March around the city, all the men of war circling the city once. You shall do so for 6 days. Also, seven priests shall carry seven trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. Then on the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall be that when they make a long blast with ram's horns, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight ahead. God's given Joshua clear instructions. Joshua, this is what's going to happen. You get the people, you line them up. You march, you march, you march, you march for 7 days. You march on the seventh day, you shout, blow the trumpets, walls are coming down, you guys take the city. So then Joshua has received his instructions, and then in Joshua chapter 6, verse 6, you see him start to carry him out. It says, Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and have seven priests carry seven trumpets and ram's horns in front of the Ark of the Lord. Then he said to the people, go forward and march around the city, and the armed men shall go on ahead of the Ark of the Lord. And it was so that when Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went ahead of priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark, while they continued to blow the trumpets. But Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard, nor let a word proceed from your mouth until the day I tell you shout. Then you'll shout. Don't shout until I tell you to shout. So he had the Ark of the Lord taken around the city, circling it once, and they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. So this is just showing us that Joshua received instruction, told what to do, told the people what to do, and they obeyed. Then it goes on to say the next day that now Joshua got up early in the morning and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. Then the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of ram's horns in front of the Ark of the Lord went continually and blew the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them and the rear guard came after the Ark of the Lord while they continued to blow the trumpets. So the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. And I love this because the writer knew we were reading this in this message. It says they did the same for 6 days. All right. So day three, day four, day five, day six, they did the same thing. Then we get to the seventh day, right? On the seventh day in verse 15, it says, then on the seventh day, they got up early at the dawning of the day and marched around the city in the same way seven times. Only on that day did they march around the city seven times. And at the seventh time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. So the people shouted, and the priests blew the trumpets. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat so that the people went up into the city, everyone straight ahead, and they took the city. So, quick recap. Jericho shut tight. Then God gives Joshua the instruction. Joshua gives the people the instruction. They follow. They walk. They blow the trumpets. They shout. Walls come down. So, Joshua's role is to obey. Joshua's job is to obey. God controls the outcome. Everybody say, Joshua obeys. God controls the outcome. Sorry, that's the children's pastor in me. I'm going to make you guys repeat a lot today. So everybody say, Joshua obeys. God controls the outcome. So during this time, Joshua's part was to hear what God said, follow the instructions, and God handles everything else. Now, when he was doing that, he could have had this moment of, you know, as he's walking around, as God's telling him how to do these things. He could have had this question of, you know, will the walls really fall if we're just walking around? But he didn't. And there's always opportunity to question it, but Joshua didn't. And because he didn't, and because he chose to obey, we see that these walls fall. Instead of Joshua asking, will the walls fall? Joshua knew, God, what are you asking me to do? Okay, this is what I'm going to do. And he was firm in that. Now, looking at what God asked Joshua to do looked a little, not strange, but yeah, weird. It wasn't normal. It was out of the ordinary. You see, Joshua was to walk around a city to take it. And my point being, obedience doesn't always look like the answer. I mean, you see it multiple times throughout Scripture. So, for example, 2 Kings 5, you have this very wealthy man named Naaman. He has leprosy, right? And so he goes to the prophet of God to receive healing for this leprosy. And so Naaman shows up with all of his army, his men, his messengers, and they come to Elisha, probably expecting for Elisha to bust out the door and just lay hands on him, pray for him, and then him be healed or anoint him with oil. You know what Elisha says to him? Hey, Naaman, you need to go out to the river. Not the claim, but just go out to the river. You need to go wash. Naaman comes back. Wash. Go wash again. Go wash again. Go wash again. He has Naaman go back 7 times. And Naaman on the 7th time comes back completely healed. Go wash. That's not ordinary, is it? Washing is ordinary, but like for healing. You know what I mean? Matthew 17, disciples come to Jesus and they need money for the tax. Jesus doesn't say, hey, we got some stuff we can put on Facebook Marketplace real quick, you know, make some money for this tax. He says, why don't you go catch a fish? Go get your line, go get your lure, get your bait caster, go catch a fish. First fish you hook, there's going to be money in his mouth. That's not ordinary. John chapter 2, they're at a wedding. They run out of wine. It's a big problem during those times. Jesus says, hey, I got a few bucks. We can just order. No, he says, go. See those huge stone pots over there? I need you to fill them up to the brim. Wait, Jesus, we need wine. No, see those pots over there? Fill them up to the brim. Best wine they ever tasted. John 9, there's a man who's blind from birth. Has this encounter with Jesus, and as he's talking to Jesus, he hears Jesus spit on the ground, and moments later, Jesus is rubbing dirt, mud made from his spit on this man's eyes. And Jesus commanded him, the thing that guy had to obey, go wash. That's not ordinary. Luke 5, John chapter 21. Hey, the thing that they were being asked to do, hey, go out and do what you've been doing all night. I know you've been fishing. I know you're a fisherman. I know you've been fishing, you know, since you've been from birth. But I just need you to go out deeper and do the exact same thing that you've been doing. Go cast your nets. And they pull in more fish than they've ever caught in their life. So much so it was breaking the boats. They caught the record and more that day. Obedience doesn't always look like the answer. And for us, when we receive the instruction, Joshua, go walk around Jericho. Hey, go catch the fish. When we receive the instruction, if our job is to obey and God's job is the outcome, what's the disconnect? I know for me, it just reminds me of a story. My dad and I, sometimes we go out to my grandmother's land out in Collins. And so there was a storm that came through and there were these huge branches that needed to be pulled down so they wouldn't fall while, you know, my grandmother was out there or anything. So my dad had the idea. He's like, hey, we need to go pull them. So my dad doesn't pull out a cherry picker. He has a four-wheeler, a ladder, not a bifold ladder, a lean-to ladder. Everybody know what a lean-to ladder is? Anybody got one? This one was not a tall ladder, but we had one. And he found this like small piece of rope. So my dad had already calculated how we're going to get this branch down. So I see him pull his four-wheeler under that branch. He looks up at a tree. He pulls his four-wheeler under that tree. He takes the ladder, puts it on top of the four-wheeler. And then he looks at me. And I'm like, you know, trying not to be seen. He's like, Tyler, come here. Here, take this rope. I need you to climb up this ladder. I need you to take that rope, throw that ladder on that branch, and we're going to pull that branch down. I said, huh? You ever been there before? Like, what'd you say? So I take the rope, I get on the ladder. I put my foot on the first rung and he's like, you gotta climb. I'm like, it's not gonna happen if you don't climb. So I start climbing and my dad's holding that ladder. As I climb, I'm shaking every step, right? So the way he has the ladder positioned, the branch is behind me. So what I'm gonna have to do is take the rope and throw it on the branch. Not just throw it on the branch, I gotta lasso it, right? So it's gonna take some skill. So I get to the top of the ladder and I'm shaking. And I know it's got to be a good wind up. I got to really throw that rope out there as I'm sitting on top of the ladder, just like this. And so I give myself a countdown. You ever been so nervous you give yourself a countdown? I'm like, 3, 2, 1. That branch never came down. Like, not with my help. It fell on its own. So, like, the disconnect was this. As I'm up there on that ladder, like, I'm wondering, how is the ladder going to stay up? How is my dad going to stabilize me? How is he going to make sure the four-wheeler doesn't move, even though it was already in park? He's like, how is this going to happen? And so what happens is, the disconnect is, we get so caught up in the how that we don't focus on the one thing that God is asking us to do. I mean, you can see the disciples, hey, go catch a fish. And the disciples, well, how is that going to? No, they just went out and did it. And what happened? We see the miracle. They have the fish. Joshua marched around the city. Well, God, no, he just went and did it. Because the beautiful thing about God controlling the outcome is that it's already done. So this is what I mean. Before God sent Joshua to Jericho, God had already given him Jericho. So our job is to obey, and God's job is the what? Help me out. Everybody, help me out. God's job is the outcome. Now, when it comes to obedience and obeying so that we can have the outcome, obedience for you may be specific to you. Obedience for you may be specific to you. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. When it comes to obedience, there are two types. As I was looking at this story, there's two types of obedience. When we're obeying God, in our walk with God, we obey God in two different ways. There are different things that God asks us to do. And the first type of obedience is general obedience. So, general obedience, we can find the example of this in Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It says, and this is God talking to Joshua. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will achieve success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified nor dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So this is a charge not only to Joshua, but to you and I. When we read this, this is God not just talking to him, but talking to us. This is a charge where God is saying, hey, live according to God's word. We look at what we read in the word of God, and we make sure that our life starts to match up to that. And thank God that by his grace, our lives can. Because if you want a perfect picture of what your life should look like, is found in his word. So there's a general obedience for us to live according to the word, but there are also things that God asks you and I to do specifically. There are things that God will ask you to do that doesn't ask me to do. And there are things that God asks me to do that he doesn't ask you to do. Perfect example, has God ever told you to march around a wall? No. God ever told you to go catch a fish so you can make money? Has God ever told you, hey, we need you to make some mud with some spit and put it on their eyes? No. But there are things God specifically asks you to do. There's things that God has asked you to do in the past specifically. Now, with Joshua, before we get to the specifics, with Joshua, there's something I want you to see. Like, before he ever marched around the wall, Joshua learned to live by the word. Now, Joshua wasn't checking his Bible app, but there was a way that Joshua was able to learn how to hear God's voice. Joshua had a great mentor in Moses. Joshua saw it all. He saw the miracles in the desert. He saw Moses go before God. He saw Moses come out with his face glowing. I believe that Joshua was the first guy to say, hey, his face is glowing. And for Joshua to see that and see how Moses would seek God and would hear God's voice and then would relay that message to the people, back when we were reading in Joshua chapter 6, you see how it's like, it's flawless. You see Joshua get the instruction from God. And then you see Joshua just give it to the people. Like, that didn't just happen. That happened over time. Joshua learned those things. And it's awesome not just to see, but to know that for you and I, that we can walk in that type of closeness to God, to hear his voice and to hear instruction. Now, when Joshua was able to tune his ear to the voice of God by watching Moses, he was able to receive that specific instruction to march around the city. There was no hesitation in what God had told him to do. And we can have that same assurance. We can have that same confidence in waking up and knowing God's told me to do this. All that I got to focus on is do this, and God's going to control the what? Outcome. You guys are listening great. So when it comes to the outcome, it's like if we're fighting for the outcome, what does the outcome look like? Well, God doesn't leave us to guess. He reveals it in his word, and there's a picture of it in Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Let's turn there together. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Now, when it comes to obedience, the outcome does some things in you. And the beautiful thing about it is when it comes to us walking out God's plan, us seeing breakthrough, us seeing God do something in our lives, the focus for God is never the outcome because he already has it done. The focus for God is never the provision because he's already provided. The focus for God is you. He's always doing something in you as he does something through you. And the more he does in you, the more he can do through you. So this is what happens in the outcome. So when you choose to obey, in this verse it says, blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That's being in tune. That's taking time to live by the word. He will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Obedience leaves you planted. It plants you. This is what I mean. You're not drifting. You're not shaky. Even if you are marching around the wall, you're not shaky while you're doing it. You're standing firm. You're like, hey, this is day two. You wait till day seven. You're planted by streams of water, so obedience positions you near the source. You're fed by something deeper than your circumstances. Obedience makes you fruitful. That means that in the right season, what God's been doing underground and in you, it shows up above ground. Just in a moment, people are like, what's going on with you? It just seems like it's happened overnight, but you know it didn't happen overnight. And you know you weren't the source of it. You knew God did it. Obedience makes you resilient. Your leaf does not wither. That means the heat and the pressure come. The wall may still be there, but you know it's going down and you don't dry up. Sometimes the outcome of obedience, like I said, isn't that the wall falls. It's what God does in us and what he's able to do through us. Now, the next part of what obedience or what the outcome of obedience looks like is found in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Let's look at that together. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, this one just, it stuck with me as I was kind of studying for this message. It says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, we're talking about living according to the word of God, that general obedience, then you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And let me just say this. I know we're reading this scripture, and as you take time to open up the word, I encourage you, when you read a scripture, read it again. And read it again. Because God will show you something every single time. This is what I wanted to pull out, what I've seen in this. It says, if you continue in my word, that's obedience over time. If I continue making sure and striving to see my life look like what God's word says. Because obedience is a lifestyle. If I keep walking, I keep circling, I keep obeying even before the wall moves. It says, you're truly my disciple. So as I obey, I also find identity. So obedience settles who you are. Joshua, why are you so confident? Because God has called me to do this. Joshua, you hold your shoulders back when you're marching around the city. Why do you do it? Because God told me to do this. God chose me to do this, and I'm going to obey. why are you standing like that while you're fishing, like you're about to catch something on the first try? Because Jesus told me to go catch the fish, right? You get identity when you obey, because you're obeying because you're following a purpose, an assignment. You're chosen. You're called. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. As you obey, you gain revelation of who God is. And this is why that's important. The more clearly you take the time to read your Bible, to get in the Word, you get in worship, you lift up your voice, the more clearly you spend time with God and you get to know God, the more room He has to move in your life. I'm going to say it this way. God moves in your life to the degree that you have revelation of Him and respond in obedience. It's not that God won't move in your life, but He's waiting on you. Now, our job is obedience. God's job is the outcome. I said there's general obedience, but there's also specific obedience. Now, in our life, I can't stand up and say, maybe there's a breakthrough. Maybe you have a breakthrough. No. For everyone in here, there's something that God wants to do in your life. For everyone in here, there's something that you want to see God do in your life. The outcome doesn't depend on you. There's only one thing that God's wanting you to do. And that thing is what He's specifically asking you to do in this season. It's so cool to see how in Joshua's life, Moses' life, that they had such a relationship with God that He was able to give them clear instructions, like down to the order. Hey, bring seven priests, not eight, and make sure they all have ram's horns. We don't want bull horns, we want ram's horns, because they have that perfect pitch. Have the Ark of the Covenant go behind the armed men. They're like details that God is just giving Joshua. And Joshua's like, all right, got it. So in tune to where you know exactly what God is asking you to do, down to the detail. And we can all live like that. We got to be in tune, that general obedience, so we can receive that specific thing that God is asking us to do. Because once we do, we don't have to worry about anything else, because our job is obedience and God's job is the outcome. Now, as I was praying for you, I kind of got this picture of what this looks like. It's like in our lives, there's a situation or there's something we want to see God do. And we look like this right here. Trying to get up to where, God, I want to see You do it. There's no progress though. Staring at a wall. When, if we would simply do the thing He's asking us to do, we'd see a change. But I know, you know what? I'll fix it. I'll work a little bit harder. I'll pick up another shift. Let me see if I can talk to this person. No, I can go here. When God's asking us to just do one thing, and when we would do the one thing that God asked us to do, we're able to step into the outcome. And your reason, our reason, and our human understanding will try to reason us out of it. No, that's not how that's going to work out. You have to work harder. You have to be smarter. You have to do this. That's what's going to cause this to change. That's not how God works, right? God can change in a moment something that would take us a lifetime to try to figure out. It could be as simple as God's just asking you to get up a little earlier and not go to work. He's asking you to just take a few minutes to let Him talk to you. Take a few minutes and see what My Word has for you. You would see it change. It may be, for a lot of us, I know for a time in my life where I'm like, God, why is this not moving? Why isn't the natural this not moving? Well, because it's not started in the natural. It's a spiritual thing. And God will say, hey, you need to spend some more time with me. I need you to just get up just for a few, get up earlier, take a few minutes and just walk. Walk and pray. The season of my life is just, that's all that God was asking me to do. But God, what about, I need these clients. God, I want to be discovered here. Walk and pray. That's not ordinary. Well, that's not how God works. My job is to obey. My job is to get up for 30 minutes, walk for 30 minutes and pray. What's God's job? The outcome. Friend, be encouraged that God has already taken care of the outcome. All you need to do is obey. But that takes you being in a place where you can hear him specifically what he has for you to do. I didn't say this in the first service, but I feel it so strong on my heart that your obedience doesn't just affect you. There is so much that God wants to do through your obedience. Not just for your life, but even for this church. Because you are the body. And there are things that God wants to do in this place, in the people here, and the people who are going to be here, that are depending on your obedience. Be encouraged by that. There are some things that God's going to do through your obedience. All you need to do is just obey that one thing. Maybe it's having a conversation. Maybe it's forgiving someone. Maybe it's stepping into a calling. Maybe it's signing up to serve. Like, well, how could that affect what I'm dealing with over here? That's not ordinary, right? Because God doesn't work in the ordinary. He works in the extraordinary. And when your mind, when the enemy tries to get you to start thinking about, well, how is it going to work? He likes how, right? Because he doesn't know. How is it going to work? How does that connect to this? How is this really a good use of your time? No. That's not my problem. Not my job. My job is to obey. That's God's job. God's job is the outcome. Let's take a moment and let's ask God. Let's everyone bow your head and close your eyes. Let's just do that now. I know this may be the only moment where you've had the opportunity to be still. And we know that God's here and that he's always speaking. And we're at a posture right now where we're in tune with what he has to say. So I encourage you right now in this moment, ask God, God, what are you asking me to do in this season? In this season, God, what are you asking me to do? And God is so merciful and grateful, and he is just so full of love that it could be, God, what are you asking me to do in this moment? You write it down as soon as he gives it to you. Because chances are you already know where you need him to see a breakthrough, or you already know what you need to see changed. But it's no more will the wall fall. It's like, no more will the wall fall. The wall's going to fall. It's, God, what are you asking me to do in this season? Write it down. Father, I just thank you for these precious people. Thank you, Father, for your heart for us. I thank you, Father, for clarity and grace. Thank you, Father, for clarity to hear what you have, hear your instruction, hear the specific thing that we are to do that you're asking each of us to do. And I thank you for grace, which is your power, Father, to carry it out, to do it. Your power to see it done. God, we give you thanks in advance for the breakthrough because it's already done. We give you thanks in advance for victory over the situation because, Father, you've already won the victory for us. Father, we just thank you that even in asking you, that just shows our faith and our trust in you that we don't even have to worry about the situation anymore. Whether it's seeing something done, and I just get in my heart, I hear, even if we wanted to become something new, Father, you would just ask us to obey you and you would change us. Because, God, we're not the potter. You are. You are the potter, Father. Just thank you, Father, for grace to trust you, to cast the care, and to see you handle the outcome. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in this place, for all that you have in store for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.